Thank you. Amen. Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, I Believe. I hope that we are speaking to every single person today, this morning, that can easily say, I believe as well, Pastor. I am also a believer. That's why I'm part of God's people. The word believe, it is a use that has been abused and misused in many cases. Many people use the word believe in many circumstances in their daily life, and yet probably they never have taken the time to actually see what does the word believe actually means. We took time to do some research to search what is the etymology of the word believe. Where does the word believe come from? Because, you know, sometimes people use a term to define an action or a choice, and then somebody hears and they like it, and so they pass on. And pretty soon what was created in one home becomes part of a village, and then becomes part of a country, and then goes overseas, becomes part of another culture. And such is the word belief. Belief has been used in many different circumstances, but as we were able to track as close as possible to where it comes from, yes, it is a compound word. It is has something to do about being for life, something. To believe is to be firm about a choice that you make, something that you have accepted as part of, as real, as truth that you apply to your life. So when you say, I believe, basically what you're saying, I am committed to be this for life. It is very common for people to say, we are what we believe. In life, in order to build our beliefs, we collect information. We go on from time to time. Gathering information and bringing to our sense of reality. And as we bring all that information to our mind, we form concepts. And then we check every single other new information that we receive on the information that we already have. And that is how we develop trust. That's how we relate the information that we had with the new information that we received. The reality that we perceived most of the time is filtered, is based in what we have put in our minds, and we have made that part of what we are. So let me repeat, we are what we believe. That's why it's so vital for us to check our beliefs and to see exactly what are we becoming as we accept things and we bring them to our minds and we store them in our minds, and those things become part of what we are. Are you a skeptical person? Do you have a hard time believing things when you heard them for the first time in your life? Are you that person that is always inquisitive, always raise your hand in class and says, teacher, why? Or do you remember when your children, every single time you told them something and they would say, why? There is nothing wrong about being inquisitive. That's what God created us. He gave us the gift of reasoning. And so we should reason and we should search for the explanation of the things that we are brought to our attention. When people want us to believe something, they they must respect you the right to understand why. So that is not wrong for us to try to understand why things are. But there are things in life that we have to accept on the basis of trust. Are you a cautious person? Are you a careful person as you deal with other people, as you deal with many different things in your life? Do you qualify yourself as being a careful person? Are you just a skeptical person who trusts no one? I'm cautious about a lot of things in my life. Yes, I am. Let me illustrate what we are saying this morning. When I receive an email from someone, and I have, believe me, in the past few years, I have received quite a few emails, very interesting emails. When I receive an email from someone and they say that they are from Nigeria and that they would like to send me $1 million. Oh, can you see when you see those emails, your eyes open, like, wow, this could be, I may have, you know, I don't have to work ever again. People receive those emails and they open their eyes and they don't see much after anything else when they see that $1 million. All I need to do, they say, is to give them my bank account, of course, because how are they going to send me the $1 million? I have to provide them my bank account. Yes, my full name, my bank account. And then they say, and Mr. Elson, and just to make sure that we don't make a mistake and we send this money that belongs to you to some wrong person, would you kindly provide us with your social security, please? So I'm ready. What is your social security, they ask. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. The scam is out there because it works. There are a lot of people that believe in deception. They are easy target because they are so naive. They choose to believe in everything. What about, I don't know if you have received, I have received some postcards in the mail inform me that I have just won a big cash prize. There was one time that they have these magazines that they send you. They says, you will be receiving $5,000 per week for the rest of your life. Just send this in. You don't have to purchase anything. Just send it in. And if you go and send those things year by year, then you say, maybe I'm not getting anything because I haven't purchased. Let me increase my chances to be receive that reward. So let me purchase a subscription of a magazine for a year. They got you. They made you a believer. I received one time when I just came to the United States. I was here just for a few months. And I have a friend, a very dear friend, that I met here in the United States, and we became friends because we realized that he actually was from the hometown in Brazil where my father and his family lived. And so we became good friends. He even became when I got married, he was my best man in my wedding, and he was a very good friend in Bible studies. And I love that young man a lot. And he was like a brother to me. And one day when I came to his house, right when the first few months that I was in the United States, he says, look, I got $10 million. And he showed me that paper that comes from this publishing house. That he says, you won $10,000. He says, And I look at him, I thought he was joking. I couldn't believe that such an educated man and such a professional would believe in such a thing. And then I said, Adair, you haven't received anything. This is a scam. He said, no, it's real. They announce on television in front of everybody. They send those vans with the cameras. I said, read a tiny little print. You all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes people become so quickly a believer in things that they cannot really, in their right mind, believe that it's true. You know what they say? If it's too good to be true, probably it's not. I'm not a believer when it comes to matters like that. Why? Because there are in the world so many, many people that are trying to use any technique possible to deceive. We live in a very dangerous world. There are evil people out there using their evil mind to create deceptive ways to entice those who are vulnerable, inexperienced, lazy, sometimes greedy. Yes, greedy are not only those that create the scam, but those that follow for the scam as well. Some people are just immature, and many of them are just unwise. And I'm using the word unwise because I don't want to use the word fools. And if you are one of those that chooses to trust anybody, probably someone will end up taking advantage of you. You need to be careful. You need to be cautious. And definitely, you need to be wise about everything you choose to believe in this life. In some cases, you must choose not to believe. Please believe that. What are the best things we must believe in this life? There are many. And we don't have the time today to discuss all of them, so we'll discuss few of them. And we may visit this topic in the future about our beliefs, especially as a Seventh-day Adventist believer. Do you believe in God? Oh, I hope so. Even the devil believes in God. So believe is not enough. But at least it is important to believe. Do you believe that God created you and the world that you live in? Many people don't. There are people that are being deceived and they are believing in things that are most insane to believe. They believe that their ancestors came from a monkey. How can you be so disrespectful to your mom, grandmother, and your ancestors to believe such absurdity? It's much easier to believe that God, an intelligent being, created me than to believe that I came from an accident of nature. But there are people out there, they call themselves highly educated, that believe in that nonsense. Do you actually believe that Jesus Christ came to this world as the Creator took on the uniform of humankind? He dressed himself in our humanity, and that he actually died on the cross, and that he was resurrected, and that he is in his glory in heaven, and there is such a place called heaven. Do you actually believe that someday we will rise from the dead, from our death bed, and go also to heaven? What do you really believe, my brother and sister? Are you a biblical Christian believer? or you are just call yourself a Christian? Do you call yourself a Catholic, a Protestant, or are you a biblical Christian Seventh-day Adventist believer? Here is something that I believe. I believe in God. Genesis 15 verse 6 tells me that Abraham also believed in the Lord, and that was counted to for him as righteousness. Paul also repeated that more than once. He says Abraham believed in God, and that was counted for him as righteousness. The brother of Jesus, James, also wrote in James 2:23. He said the same thing that also Abraham believed. Over and over in the Bible, we see examples of people who chose to believe in God and how their lives were transformed forever. We mentioned a few last week. We are instructed to put our faith in God and God alone. And today, I'm here to say to you as well, believe in God, and that will be counted to you for righteousness. There is in the Bible one text that some people do not really like, that one. Open your Bibles, please, in Psalms 14, verse 1. These are the words that the Holy Spirit inspired David to say. He says, "Fools say to themselves, there is no God." What is said is that this text is saying more than people actually understand. It says, "Fools say to themselves." Why fools say to themselves? Because nobody else is a fool to believe. So only fools can believe that. So that's why fools talk to themselves. There is no God. Fools are evil and do terrible things. There is no one who does anything good. That's why they are called fools. Let me repeat. Fools say to themselves. So, brothers and sisters, don't get yourself in a circle where you end up listening to fools. Because fools talk to themselves, and they convince themselves there is no God. And why they convince themselves there is no God is because they want to be God themselves. And that is really foolishness. Because if you look in the mirror, if you look in your pictures that you took 10 years ago, you can tell yourself, you are not God. And believe me, you are not. There is a religion out there that says God was once a man, and now he is God, and therefore we are going to become gods. That is just foolishness. Don't believe. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, New Living Translation says this: "It is impossible to please God without faith." I like to say, I like to paraphrase this by saying, it is not possible for you to come close to God with the foolishness of unbelief. You can only approach God with belief. Without belief, you cannot see God or even know who God is. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe, because belief is the path to God. God only exists to those that allows the wisdom that God plants in their hearts to reveal reveal God Himself to them. He says, "And God exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him sincerely with an open mind. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15, New Living Translation, Paul says this to the Romans as well as to all of us. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Of course, you cannot call the name of the Lord unless you believe. So he's implying anyone who believes and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call him to save them unless they believe in him? So believe is the key that opens the door that helps us to access the presence of God. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? He needs another believer to go and tell the believer. Remember, the fools tell the fools there is no God. So the believers must tell others that are willing to believe that we must believe. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says to you, my brother and my sister, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I believe. I believe in God's word. I remember the day, I mentioned this to you many times before, I remember the day that changed my life, when somebody called Ezra, out of nowhere, took a Bible and put it in my hand and said with conviction, with a conviction that impressed me when he says, here, this book will change your life. And his conviction impressed me. So I said, what is so important about this book that it will change my life? So I decided, and because he was such a very kind person, a very friendly person, I believe him when he said that this book would change your life. So I decided to read the book. And it did. And how many millions of people have their lives completely changed? Criminals, people that a society already have given up on them, once that they came in contact with the Word of God, they completely change. We see stories in the Bible, we see stories on the news, we see stories on books. And if you, like myself, have spent so many years of your life giving Bible studies, meeting people, many different types of people, I have met people that came to me in the first meeting that we had. It says, by the way, Pastor, do not waste your time because I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in God. My life is fine the way it is. I don't need God. I don't need those stuff. It's just religion complication. All that it is in this book is what people wrote. And I like to say to you that after the person spent few time with us, quite a few months in study, that also person was baptized, that person became a believer. His name was Roger. We baptized him and his beloved wife. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you all must be familiar with this, and I hope that you have this very underlined in your Bible. And you should read this verse to your children. Tell them, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why I believe. And is profitable for doctrine. Yes, to create your beliefs. It is profitable for reproof. It is a guide. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction into righteousness. It is inspired by God. I believe in the Word of God, and I hope you believe as well. But believe me, if you believe in the Word of God, but you don't eat, you don't spend time with it, you will not know it. And it's hard to believe when you do not know. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, New Century Version, Paul says this to the Thessalonians, I also We always thank God because when you heard His message from us, you accepted as the Word of God, not the words of humans. And it really is God's message which works in you who believe. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, in New King James, gives us a test for us to know if a person who claims to believe really believe. It says this, "Now by this we know that we know Him." This is the test. When, what is the test? If we keep His commandments. He who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments, it's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, here comes the word, truly, the love of God is perfected in that particular person. By this we know that we truly know Him, because we keep His word, because we believe in His word. And when we believe in His word, we follow, we obey His will. There are many things we can say about that, but let's move to the next step that I would like to share with you. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Creator, as the divine Savior that came from heaven to rescue His creation. He took our humanity because nobody else could. Not an angel, not another human being. No one else could. So He came. Yes, Jesus Christ is God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. He is the Creator and the Savior. Colossians 1:16 and 20. He is the Everlasting Father. Read Isaiah 9, verse 6. He is God. There is no other choice for a believer to make. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, New Century Version, it says, "This is why we work and struggle. We hope in a living God who is the Savior of all people, especially those who, like you and I, believe." Acts 16:31, New Century Version as well, it talks about the story of the Philippian jailer who asked, "What do I do in order to be saved?" And he was told, "You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Not only you, but everyone in your household that choose to believe as you." In John 3, verse 18, New Living Translation says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." There are a lot of people who choose not to believe, and they bring judgment upon themselves. And worse is those that claim to believe, but they don't act like they believe. Those are even worse. In John 3:16, we are all very familiar with the text, "For God so loved you and I," yes, the world, "that He gave His only begotten Son." Why? Because if we choose to believe, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life that He offers to everyone who believes. That's why I believe, because I enjoy life and I want it to be eternal. John 4:42, New Living Translation. "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe.'" Remember the woman, the Samaritan, that she had a very, very very bad life. She was stealing some other women's husbands, and so she had a life that was not very good. Jesus came to her, asked her for water, and he gave her a revelation of the truth. And she went and told all her neighbors and everybody else, and they came. They all said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." Can you say this morning, my brother and sister, "I believe when the pastor preached, but now I believe because I have heard him myself on my own heart. The Holy Spirit has opened my heart and I could hear his voice myself. Now I believe indeed that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I do have eternal life." I believe, my brothers and sisters, and I hope you believe as well. Colossians 1 verse 16, New King James, "For by him all things were created." Yes, my Savior is the Creator as well. That all in heaven, that in earth that was created, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and by him. My Savior is not just a carpenter that was crucified for being rebellious or being claimed to be rebellious against Rome. No, my Redeemer is the Creator who took my uniform to represent me on that cross. I deserve that cross. But he said, "I love you so much that I will take your place." I believe, my brothers and sisters, I believe that he took my place. I believe by his grace, I have his righteousness offered to me every day. And I accept the righteousness because it cost him a lot. And he's given to me as a gift of his grace. John 10:38, New Century Version. "But if I do what my Father does, even though you don't believe in me, believe what I do, then you will know and understand that the Father and me, and I am in the Father, we are one. If you believe in God, you also believe in me, because the Father and I are one." John 14, verse 1. We use this as a Seventh-day Adventist. We know this by heart. But today I'm not going to read verse 2, 3, and verse all the way to 3, but I'm going to read only verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Here is Jesus Christ saying, yes, don't let your heart be in confusion. Don't let yourself be a victim of unbelief. Believe in God, believe also in me. Brothers and sisters, I also believe in miracles. Because if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, how can you not believe in miracles? Your life will be a miracle in itself. You know how they say many times in the United States, here is a very common expression, and sometimes they use that in motivational meetings. They said, "Believe in yourself. It's important to believe in yourself." Yes, unless you choose to believe in God and notice clearly how your own existence is a miracle, you're not going to do much by believing in yourself if you don't believe in God. In Numbers 14, verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people ignore me? How long will they not believe me in spite of all the miracles that I have done among them?" You know, I can almost imagine Jesus Christ on the hills looking down Jerusalem, as we mentioned last week, when he looked at Jerusalem and he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many miracles, how many signs have been performed in that city?" And that is the city there reject the Son of God. That is the city that called the holy city, and yet they did the most unholy things. They killed the prophets, they killed the apostles, they killed the faithful, they killed the Savior himself. Miracles are for the eyes of those that choose to believe. Miracles don't mean anything to those that do not believe. John 20, verse 27, New Central Version, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Thomas, put your finger here, Thomas, and look at my hands. Does those look like a hand of the dead person? Put your hand right to my side. Stop being an unbeliever and believe, Thomas. Believe.'" John 20, verse 29, New King James, "Jesus said to him," to Thomas, "'Because you have seen me now you believe?' Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet they chose to believe. That's what real faith is. And you see the story of Thomas in John 20, verse 24 to 29. This is an individual that spent 3 years, a disciple of Jesus Christ, like some of us in this morning. Thomas had religious upbringing. Some of us were born in a home, the Seventh-day Adventist home. We have been in a church all our lives. Some of us used to be part of another church and then became part of the true church. Thomas believed in God all his life. He was chosen by Jesus to become one of his 12 apostles. For 3 years, he followed Jesus everywhere. He saw with his own eyes the miracles that Jesus performed. He listened to the words of life that Jesus proclaimed on the Sermon on the Mountain and all the beautiful sermons. He was there, all the parables he heard. He watched everything he did. He heard every word he said live. He was source number one. He didn't hear from somebody else. He was not a hearsay. He saw with his own eyes. He heard with his own ears. He captured with his own mind. Can you imagine to spend that kind of quality time with Jesus Christ, with God himself? And yet, he allowed doubt to come to his life. And he chose for a moment to become a not believer or unbeliever. He chose to doubt. But then, there was this last Passover, which changed everything in his life. After a glorious entrance of Jesus Christ to the streets of Jerusalem, remember when everybody was saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings, the Son of David." Oh, Thomas and Judas and Peter, all of the disciples, they thought, this is it. Now Jesus is going to claim his power. He's going to be, Israel is going to become the nation number one in the world. We're going to conquer all enemies. The Romans are going to be done with. Oh, this is the moment. And then the dream collapsed. He was arrested. He was taken to prison. Why was Thomas so skeptical then? You see, Thomas had believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But then things happened that made him think that maybe he put his trust on the wrong place. Jesus had been arrested, as we mentioned. But how could he? He is all powerful. Jesus has been tortured. How could it be? He is God. It didn't make any sense to Thomas. Jesus had been crucified. Even though he had set so many people free from the power of demons, he could not free himself. Remember the people crucified beside him were saying, "Why don't you save yourself and save us as well, if you really can?" And then he died. How could he? I heard him say many times, "I am life." But now he's dead. Even though he could raise people from the dead, I remember when he raised Lazarus, but now it doesn't make any sense. He is dead. How can I believe? He had believed in Jesus, but when everything happened that caused him to become skeptical again, would you have done any different, my brothers and sisters, if you have been in his shoes? Why do we sometimes allow doubts to come into our hearts? How sometimes we doubt when we have been exposed to the truth, when we have read, when God has revealed to us what the true church is, what we must believe in order to be closer to God? I believe in Jesus, my brothers and sisters. I believe that he died because he wanted me to live. I believe he came because I belong to him. I believe he is God. Because as Nicodemus said, God has to be with you, because how can you do the things you do? It's not possible. It doesn't make any sense that somebody has the power that you have unless God is with him. God was not only with him, but he is God. He was God, and he always will be God. I believe, and I hope you believe as well. Yes, it's hard to believe, brothers and sisters, I know, especially when your child dies. I have a moment like that in my life. It is hard to believe when you yourself get diagnosed with a sickness that there is no remedy, and you know you're sending to doctors after doctors after doctors, to the point that you become discouraged when you know that you're dying little by little and you see no hope. How can you believe? When you pray over and over again for healing and you don't see it happen, how can you sustain your belief? If you read the God's word, you'll find the answers. God answers all prayers. And sometimes we need to ask God, "Please open my eyes so I may see, Lord." And then my faith will be put in practice. Sometimes we cannot see because we have not developed a faith that is strong enough to open our eyes. I believe in Jesus, brothers and sisters. I look back in my life. I look at today. I look at tomorrow. And I know why I believe. Bad things happen to everyone. As a young Brunner said once in his book, "Why Bad Things Happen to Good People," he said, bad things happen to everyone. Sometimes it makes you wonder, why do we believe Why do we question? Why there is so much unbelief? Why there is so much confusion? John 20, verse 30 and 31 says, "And truly Jesus did many signs, many miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the gospel. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So in other words, the Bible gives us only few of Jesus Christ's miracles, just to help us to build our belief. I believe in prayer, brothers and sisters. I believe in prayer because Matthew 21:22, New Century Version says, "If you believe, you will get everything you ask for in prayer." Let me read it again. "If you believe, you will get anything you ask in prayer." Of course, you read the Bible, you understand, must be according to God's will. But if you pray, having faith, your faith will be rewarded. Mark 11:24, New Century Version as well. "So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you." Mark 9:23, New King James says, "Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to the person who chooses to believe." Did you hear that, brother and sister? If you believe, all things are possible to you. And finally, there are two more things that I must mention today. Even though our time is advanced, I must mention to you. I believe in forgiveness. When I read the scriptures, when I see the sacrifices of lambs from the moment that God needs to dress Adam and Eve with the skins of innocent animals, when I see throughout the Bible, all the blood that was shed in order to show us that God was going to send his only beloved Son to die in our place. 1 John 1 verse 9 has a profound meaning to all of us. All of us who choose to believe. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In order for you to become from a sinner to a saint, there is a 7-letter word that makes the difference, and that is belief. If you choose to believe, you will choose to confess. If you choose to believe, that will lead you to confession. And if you choose to believe and confess, that will lead you to sanctification with holiness, because that's what God's grace provides to you, forgiveness. I believe in baptism because Mark 16:16 tells us, to those that choose to believe and is baptized, there will be salvation. I remember the precious day when I told the pastor, I want to be baptized because I believe today is the day. And I noticed that the pastor probably was trying to see that I was not prepared, so that probably would discourage me, tell me that maybe I should study a little bit more. And they talked to me and asked me questions. And I remember my answer to this day. I said to them, I believe that the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God, and anything that it says for me to do, I will do because I believe this is God's Word. And in that moment, they accepted me as a candidate. And that afternoon, the Sabbath afternoon in November 1968, I stood inside of swimming pool with so many other people. And I said, I believe. And I'm still believing to this day. And I'll believe forever. In conclusion, I'd like to tell you a story, a true story. A pastor, we're going to call him Miller. He tells about a church member who telephoned him one evening to ask him a kind of very strange question. The person says, Dr. Miller, what do I believe? What? What do you mean? Dr. Miller asked her, I'm not sure that I heard correctly. Did you say, what do you believe? She said, yes, what do I believe? And then she elaborated a little bit. She says, you see, doctor, I just came from a party with some of my classmates, some friends from school. And in this, there was a discussion going on. Everybody was talking about how they have, they hold their own beliefs. One woman was a Jewish person, and she told us what she believed as a Jew. Then after she finished, another person that was present, a friend of ours, who was a Roman Catholic, she also told us what Catholics believe. And then there was also someone of there, a young man, there was from the, he was a Christian scientist, and he said what he believed. And there was also a Jehovah's Witness. He was not very, he just joined the church, but they said what he believed that they believed. But then they asked me, what about you? What do you believe? What are you? And she said, I am a Protestant. But I have to ask my pastor, what do we believe? The irony of this true story is that this woman was joined, has just joined the church a few months before the pastor became a pastor of that church. And she was joined, and she joined the church by profession of faith. Can you believe that? Few months before this incident, she was accepted in a church by vote by all the church members, by profession of faith. And she had no clue what the church believed. She was treated nicely, and she joined the church. She came into the church. Dr. Miller said, I believe she came to the church in a confusion of faith instead of a confession of faith. You'll be amazed how many people claim to believe and they have no idea what they believe. Fortunately, I hope that's not your case. I hope today you can say with confidence, I believe in God. I believe in His Son. I believe in His church. I believe in His Word. I believe in His gift of eternal life. I believe. I'd like to paraphrase in closing our message today with Paul's words that we can find in Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you, my brothers and sisters, with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope for the power of the Holy Spirit that God has put in your heart to make you believe. I believe, and I hope you do as well. God bless you in your belief. Amen.